If you were paying attention to the reading, you'll notice that this is a very dark chapter. I mean, Jeremiah is already a very dark book, and I would probably say that Jeremiah chapter 19 is probably maybe the worst, the darkest, maybe that's a better way of saying it, the darkest chapter there in the book of Jeremiah. And if you look at verse number 11 there, it says, Jeremiah 19:11, it says, "And shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so will I break this people and this city." The title for the sermon this evening is Break This People. Okay, break this people. Why would God say such a thing? That he desires to break, not just the city, but he wants to break the people of Judah. I mean, God must be mad. God must be angry. You know, as you know, God has been very, very wrathful, you know, about and brought his judgment through the prophet Jeremiah as he's preaching through and against this nation of Judah. And we'll soon see why God is so angry. And don't forget, when we're reading these things, don't let it be just a story in the Bible, sometime in the past, you know, what's it got to do with us? Bring it home. Okay, this chapter is very real for us in Australia today. Very real. Okay? Look at verse number 1. Jeremiah 19, verse number 1. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, go and get a potter's earthen bottle and take the ancients of the people and the ancients of the priests." So God instructs Jeremiah. If in the previous chapter you may remember that he went to a potter's house and was watching how a potter was using clay and making these vessels, and God was using it as an illustration with how he felt toward Judah. And now he says, look, go back to that potter and take with you a earthen or a clay vessel, a bottle, okay? And God says, look, you're going to use this as an illustration this time, right? And so he goes, go to the ancients of the people. Go to the ancients of the priests. Go to those, you know, to the older generation, those that have a standing in the people, those people that are respected. Go and preach to them first. What's he going to say to them? Look at verse number 2. Where's he going? It says, "And go forth unto the valley of the son of Hinnom." Now, this valley of the son of Hinnom is not in Jerusalem, but it's just on the outskirts. In fact, he'll say here, "which is by the entry of the east gate, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell thee." So you can see Jeremiah, he's at the east gate of Jerusalem. He's on the outside of Jerusalem, and he's gone to this valley. This valley is known as the son of Hinnom. Now, just you probably have heard this phrase, the son of Hinnom, or this place, the son of Hinnom, a few times as you read through your Bibles. And this word Hinnom, actually, the Greek word for Hinnom is the word Gehenna. Okay, you can kind of see some of the similarities there, right? Gehenna and Hinnom. You can see it's got a similar thing. And that word Gehenna, well, it's not in your King James Bible, but it's a Greek word. And when you read that word in your King James Bible, as you read it through the New Testament in the Greek, what word is that translated to in English? Does anybody know? It's the word hell, okay? It's the word hell. And so when we look at the valley of the son of Hinnom, you could, in your mind, just think of hell, okay? In fact, there is a lot of similarities. And this was a place where you'll soon see that they were doing abominable acts. They were doing extremely wicked acts. Keep your finger there and go to Luke chapter 12 for me. Go to Luke chapter 12 in the New Testament. Luke chapter 12 and verse number 5. Luke chapter 12 and verse number 5. I just want to show you how the Greek New Testament uses the word Hinnom or Gehenna. There in Luke chapter 12 and verse number 5, it says, "But I will forewarn you," these are the words of Jesus, "whom ye shall fear, fear him which after he have killed have power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." And so he's saying God has the power to cast into hell. If you were reading the Greek, you would say cast into Gehenna. All right? And so you can see that God wants to use this word Gehenna or Hinnom to describe hell. This is a place of judgment. This is a place of death. Okay, this is like none of us want to go to hell. None of us want to suffer the tortures of hell. And so you can see then as we read through the Old Testament back in Jeremiah, you can go back to Jeremiah 19 now, that this is not a good place if God is likening hell to the valley of Hinnom. Okay, now let's go to verse number 3. What is taking place on this land? It says, and say, so Jeremiah, this is what you're going to have to preach. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring evil upon this place. What place? The valley of Hinnom, the valley of the son of Hinnom, right? And which whosoever heareth, his ears shall tingle. Okay? So what Jeremiah is about to say is going to cause the ears of the people to tingle. You know, the phrase that we would use today is you'd be left with a ringing in your ears. Okay? You're going to be shocked by what gets preached by Jeremiah. It's going to sink in. You're not going to believe what Jeremiah is saying. It's unbelievable to hear. That's what it means by the ears will tingle at the preaching of the word here. What is going to be preached? Look at verse number 4. Because they have forsaken me, that's forsaken God, and have estranged this place. Now, estranged means, what does estranged come from? It means it's a strange place. Okay, you've made this a very strange place. Okay, and not only that, why is it extremely strange? Why is it unusual? Because they've forsaken God. I want you to remember this. They have forsaken God. Now the valley of the son of Hinnom is this strange. This is a strange place, right? What's happened? And have burned incense in it unto other gods. So we can see here, they're worshipping false gods. Yeah, they're sacrificing unto false gods. Look at this. Whom neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah. Look at this. And have filled this place with the blood of innocents. What's happening on the valley of the son of Hinnom? Innocent blood is being shed. Innocent will soon see children are being put to death. Okay? And the prophet's saying, look, this is in a strange place. This is strange what's taking place. But I want you to notice two things. Okay? We're talking about the blood of the innocents here. Okay? Innocent people are dying in the valley of the son of Hinnom. But don't forget, the reason this is taking place is because they have forsaken God. They have forsaken God. And let me tell you, when a nation forsakes God, you know what's going to happen? The innocent are going to have their blood shed. The innocent are going to die. Children will perish. Children will be slaughtered. Children are being slaughtered in Australia. Okay? And why are children being slaughtered in Australia? Because this nation has forsaken God. Okay? Don't tell me this is a Christian nation. Okay? If it was a Christian nation, we would not be slaughtering the innocents. We would not be shedding the blood of innocents. Say, what are you talking about? Look what's happening in verse number 5. They have built also the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spake it, neither came it into my mind. How are they shedding the blood of innocents? They are taking their children and they're burning them with fire. They're sacrificing their children to a false god. They're killing their own children. They're shedding the blood of their innocents. Okay? Again, why? Because they have forsaken God. And God says, look, I did not command them to do this. Verse number 5. Which I commanded not. Not spake. I never said anything like this. There's nothing that I could have said that would cause the Jews to think, oh, maybe God wants us to sacrifice our kids, to kill our kids. And he says, look, neither came it into my mind. God says, look, not even I could have thought about such a wicked thing to be done, but it's been thought by man. Okay? And look, we know that nothing takes God by surprise. He knows all things. Okay? But don't forget that there is no darkness in God. God is not a sinner. Okay? And yet he's taken by surprise that God's creation, that man, will be so wicked to kill their own children, to burn their own children. You say, what does this have to do with Australia? Don't forget, I know we preach on this, but it looks like, you know, as we follow God's word, we need to cover it. Okay? 250 babies were killed today. Today, in abortion clinics, in our nation, brethren. Now, that number, you go, where'd you get that number from, 250? I looked it up probably about 10 years ago. The thing is, our nation does not record abortion numbers. We have some rough numbers. There are some states that record it, not all. And then with the information that I had available to me, you know, I just extrapolated it to the other states and to the rest of the population, And, you know, I discovered that 250 is a very conservative number of abortions that took place today. Every day in the nation of Australia, you know, in the United States, it's like it's more like 3,000 abortions every single day. Let's not forget this. Let's not forget this, okay? You know what makes the news? When a plane goes down and 100 people die, 200 people perish in a plane crash. Listen, that happens once in a while. Okay, it's very rare for a plane to come down. Don't forget, we have that many people, that many children, innocent blood, being killed in their mother's womb every day in this nation. Don't forget it. Don't forget this is going on. And when you remember this, then you'll realize that this is not a Christian nation. This is a nation that has forsaken God. Yeah. The fact that we're, as a nation, so comfortable slaughtering the innocent is just proves to us that this nation is far from God. Okay? And they want you to fight the wrong battles. You know, when it comes to abortions, don't they always want to bring later and later abortions and make that legalized? And then Christians are caught up fighting the late-term abortions, but that's not the fight. The fight is abortions. Early-term abortions is just as wicked as late-term abortions, but they always want you fighting something else. Like, okay, if you fight against late-term abortions, then that means you're okay with the early-term abortions. No, we're not okay with any abortions. We're not okay with the slaughter of innocents. Okay? We're not okay with that. Jeremiah was not okay with that. God was not okay with that. Our nation. I mean, think about that. Think about what it takes to just kill someone. Okay, there's one. Okay, let's take another baby. Let's kill that one. Two. Kill another one. Three. Another one. Four. 250 times. Today. Tomorrow. 250 times. Yesterday, 250. It's probably higher than that now, brethren. I'm telling you, I got these numbers like 10 years ago. Okay, with the limited information that I could gather. I'm sure it's higher than that. Okay? What do you want to bring it down to? 100? That's too much. 10? That's too much. It's got to be zero. Yeah. Okay? But notice, it won't happen unless this nation gets back to the Lord. I'm not interested in protesting an abortion clinic. Okay? My goal is to get people right with God, to go and preach the gospel, tell them about the salvation of Jesus Christ, bring upon not the righteousness of man, but the righteousness of Christ imputed upon sinners. And if this nation has a fear of God, then instead of forsaking God and they get right with God, guess what's going to happen naturally? Naturally, people are going to refuse those abortion clinics. Naturally, people are going to hate the abortion doctors. And they should die the same type of death that they inflict on their patients. Patients. You know? I mean, these abortion doctors are serial killers, serial murderers. I mean, not even, when you think of Australia's most dangerous serial killer that's killed the most people, I mean, what names jump out? I don't know. Who? Ivan Milat. How many people did he kill? You know?
10.
An abortion doctor probably already killed 10 just today. All right? And we make Ivan Milat an enemy, and he is. He's a wicked man, you know? A wicked reprobate. Well, you know who also reprobates? Abortion doctors. Abortion. I'm not talking about the guy that kind of maybe just starts and doesn't think about what he's doing, and he may start and his conscience bothers him, and then he finds, you know, it's guilt, and he says, look, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not talking about that abortion doctor. I'm talking about the one that does it for the money. I'm talking about the one that desires for women to have abortions. I'm talking about the doctor that, you know, when we thought that our last baby was going to have complications, we thought it was going to be Down syndrome, the doctor comes in, hey, let's abort the baby. Hey, those are reprobates. Yep. They're haters of God. They want to shed innocent blood because they've forsaken God. Okay? This has happened. This is a horrible sin. You know, and look, I only get to preach to you guys 3 times a week. You know, I get to preach to you guys on a Sunday. I get to preach to you guys today on a Thursday. If you've got your TV on every day, you know, you watch your television, you know, you watch the media, you watch the news, they're going to give you anti-biblical messages. They're going to cause you to think abortion's just fine. As long as we keep the mother protected and safe, you know, and we make sure we take... Listen, I mean, if you just watch the television every day, that's how much you're being affected by the wisdom, the God-forsaken nation, the wisdom that comes from this world. And, you know, I only have a limited time to preach to you the Word of God. Okay, so please pay attention and just notice how bad this is. I don't come and I don't have a desire. All right, can't wait for church on Thursday. I can't wait to preach against the sin of abortion. I don't like preaching about it. You probably don't even like hearing about it, right? But listen, this is in the Word of God, and we just have to accept this is the truth. This is what took place in Judah, and then go, well, what about Australia then? If God feels this way about Judah and says, I'm gonna break these people, I'm gonna break this city, then what is he thinking about Australia right now? What is he thinking about Sydney right now? This nation that we live in. Verse number 6. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that this place shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. God says, look, stop calling it the son of Hinnom, or the valley of the son of Hinnom. This is the valley of slaughter, okay? Not only because these children have been slaughtered here, but you'll soon see that God will slaughter these people as well, okay? That he's going to slaughter these that have slaughtered the innocents in this same place. Now, the reason I wanted to just explain to you that the valley of the son of Hinnom is Gehenna, which is translated as hell, is because if you're familiar with the Jehovah's Witnesses, JW doctrine, you know, they don't really believe in a hell. Again, they don't know the God of the Bible, okay? So it shouldn't be a surprise. They don't believe that God will torment people every day, you know, in fire and brimstone. And they believe that that hell, like we understand, yeah, was translated from the Greek word Gehenna, which was translated from the Hebrew word Hinnom, all right? And therefore, hell isn't this really place of fire and torment, but it's just a place where people were slaughtered. And so their idea is that if you don't measure up, if you're not saved, right, whatever they classify that as, that you're just going to be slaughtered by God, you're just going to cease from existence, but you're not actually going to burn in hellfire, okay? But notice what God is saying here. He says that this place shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom. God is saying this place will no more be known as Gehenna. You know why? Because we know it as hell. That's why. You know, God is using this practical illustration, this valley, to teach us about hell. In fact, the word Tophet, this place shall no more be called Tophet, actually comes from the word fire, like a fireplace, a place of fire. And so God uses this illustration of this wicked place to also refer to hell. And God is going to slaughter the wicked of Judah in the valley here of the son of Hinnom, as well as we know, the soul will be tormented day and night forever and ever in a place called hell, which is a place of fire and brimstone for all eternity. So don't, you know, at the end of the day, these abortion doctors, they are going to face the wrath of God. They are going to face the judgment of God. They will burn. You know, and that will burn severely for what they've done to the blood of innocents. Verse number 7. And I will make void the council of Judah and Jerusalem in this place. What place? Again, the Gehenna, right? The valley of the son of Hinnom. He says, and I will cause them to fall by the sword before their enemies and by the hands of them that seek their lives. And their carcasses will I give to be meat for the fowls of the heaven and for the beasts of the earth. God is telling you, look, I'm going to slaughter you all. This is going to be the valley of slaughter. You killed innocents. You killed your children. You burnt them with fire. Well, I'm going to do the same to you. This same place, when the Babylonians come in, there's going to be a great slaughter. Okay? And so this place will be known as the valley of slaughter. You know, God's going to take his vengeance on these wicked people. And again, don't forget, as sad it is to think about the abortion clinics, again, it's not our job to be vigilantes. It's not our job to go around and burn these places down, though, as much as I would love to, okay? But that's not my job, okay? Their fire will come. Their slaughter will come at the hands of God. And I guarantee you that, okay? Verse number 8. And I will make this city desolate, and in hissing, everyone that passeth thereby shall be astonished, and hiss because of all the plagues thereof. And look at verse number 9. This just, it's amazing. Because before we read verse number 9, when the Babylonians come, okay, Jerusalem is going to be under siege for a while. And, you know, when a city is under siege at first, it feels safe. Hey, we got our walls of protection. We're able to hold back the enemies. But when you can't transport food in, what's going to happen? Okay, when the city runs out of food, they can't go out to the fields because it's under siege, right? Anyone that tries to get out to get food, they're going to be slaughtered by the enemy. Well, eventually, they're going to run out of food and they're going to turn and do some extremely horrendous things. And this is what God tells them, verse number 9, "And I will cause them to eat the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters. And they shall eat every one the flesh of his friend in the siege and straitness wherewith their enemies and they seek their lives." Sorry, "and they that seek their lives shall straiten them." When it says here that they shall straiten them, it doesn't mean like they're going to fix them. Okay, the word straight there, S-T-R-A-I-T, means narrow. Okay, it's kind of like entering by the straight gate. Or, you know, the water, you know, the sea that we have between mainland Australia and Tasmania is known as the Bass Strait. You guys familiar with that? The Bass Strait, because it's a narrow portion of water. Okay, so straight means narrow. And so when they're under siege, they're basically in a very narrow place. They can't get out, okay? And as this happens, they're going to go hungry and they're going to start cooking. They're going to start killing and eating their own children. They're going to turn to cannibalism. This is part of God's judgment, okay? Now, I mean, look, God did not instruct them to eat their own children. Let me make that clear. Okay, their judgment is that they're going to be under siege. Their judgment is they're going to be slaughtered by the Babylonians. But again, it seems unusual to us. You'd say, look, no matter how hungry I am, I will never do this. And I believe that. I tell you why I believe you'll never eat your kids. Okay, because you're right with God. Remember, these guys have forsaken God. They have no problem already putting their children to fire. They've got no problem killing their kids. So what do you think the next thing is going to happen? When they go hungry, they're going to eat the flesh of their own sons and daughters. Now, keep your finger there, and let's go to the book of Lamentations. Lamentations, which is the next book there that you have in the Bible after Jeremiah. And just a reminder, Lamentations is basically Jeremiah part 2. Okay? And Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, is all about Jeremiah preaching about the coming judgment of the Babylonians. And Lamentations is after the Babylonians have come in, you know, Jeremiah weeping and lamenting about the destruction of Jerusalem and the nation, right? Lamentations chapter 4, verse number 9. So now we're fast forwarding. We're fast forwarding past the takeover of the Babylonians. Lamentations chapter 4 and verse number 9. It reads, "They that be slain with the sword are better than they that be slain with hunger." Jeremiah said, look, after all this destruction, it would have just been better to die by the sword than to die by hunger. Why? It says, "For these pines away, stricken through for want of the fruits of the field." Look at this. "The hands of the pitiful women have sodden," or boiled, okay, "their own children." Look, Jeremiah was prophesying about this in Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah. Now Lamentations, it took place. It happened. It's not some empty threat. You know what God said took place. They boiled their own children. They were their meat in the destruction of the daughter of my people. The Lord have accomplished his fury. He have poured out his fierce anger and have kindled a fire in Zion. It have devoured the foundations thereof. So, man, we need to know this God. Okay? You know this God, it's going to help you live a cleaner life, a more righteous life, and we know God is long-suffering and he's merciful, but at the same time, don't forget this God. This is the same God. This is the same Jesus, okay? And as part of the fury of God, he allowed this to take place where people would eat their own children. How wicked, okay? Not God. Again, God did not tell them do it. God just prophesied this is going to happen because they had forsaken God. Okay, remember, these things did not enter the mind of God. This is just the product of people, of a nation that have forsaken God. Now you say, well, Kevin, I just don't see. Okay, yeah, maybe Australia has forsaken God. You know, maybe Australia, is killing 250 babies every day. But surely we're not going to eat our own kids. Surely not. Okay, surely we would not do that. Well, I'm telling you, it's happened. You say, in what way? vaccines. And look, I don't have the list. I didn't want to get too off topic here because it needs its own sermon. But you know, many of the vaccines that have been injected into us, okay, and that we may have injected into our children, contained cells, okay, of aborted babies, okay. Back in the 1960s, they took a couple of aborted babies, took their cells, and these things were put into many vaccines. This is not some conspiracy. This is a fact. You can look it up yourself, okay? And based on these children that have been murdered, that have been slaughtered, they've built these vaccines upon these things. And then we're taking it, it's just for our health, inject it into our bodies. I mean, how different is that to just consuming your own children? It's the same thing. You're taking the flesh, you're taking the body parts of the innocent, and you're putting it into your own body. These things are in your vaccines. Okay, your MMR vaccine, the one for the measles, I believe, contains these body parts. I mean, I don't know. You can do your own research. I might preach a sermon about this one day soon. Okay, but listen, what do you expect? What do you expect? It's already happened. People are already ingesting, okay, maybe not in the mouth, but directly into our bloodstream, body parts of aborted children, of slain children. Again, brethren, I don't want to preach this, but it's happened in Judah. It's happened in Australia. How far are we from God's judgment? I don't know. Okay? You say, Pastor Kevin, this is just a hard book. Why'd you choose Jeremiah? You know, we needed 52 chapters for 52 weeks. You know, but the Lord's put this on my heart. I think we need to hear it. You know, because how many churches are preaching Jeremiah these days?
None.
Well, one. Praise God. But we need to hear this. You know, I'm not laughing at this. Is disgusting. Right. You know, I can't believe how our nation has... What's happened to our nation? Okay? And here you are pumping yourself with TV, media every day. Oh, vaccines are good for you. We should take the vaccines. And people that say, no, I don't want to take that. Oh, there's something weird about you. You know, you put down these people that don't want to take vaccines, okay, when they're doing the righteous thing. They're like, I don't want to participate in something that has been built on aborted fetuses, on the slaughter of children. I don't want to partake of that. You know? Now, look, I'm not against you. We vaccinated our daughter, okay? The reason we became anti-vax is because I think it was the second dose of vaccines with Isabel. Immediately, like literally a few minutes, 10 minutes after she took it, she got extremely sick, vomiting, lost a lot of weight, did not want to eat. And then we looked into it and realized, oh man, this is not good. Okay? So, you know, I'm not against, like, we've all been ignorant at some point. But look, if God tells us this is what happens to a nation that forsakes God, then don't be surprised if it's happening in Australia. It is happening in Australia. It's just that the media has told us it's all good. Don't worry about it. Listen, we need to just listen to God's word. Amen. Pay attention. These things are dangerous. These things are ungodly. Okay, I can't wait for God to destroy these wicked people. Yeah. Look at verse number 10. Then shalt thou break the bottle in the sight of the men that go with thee, and shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so will I break this people and this city as one breaketh a potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again, and they shall bury them in Tophet till there be no place to bury. So now you know the context. Why would God say, I'm going to break you? I'm going to break this city. Why? Because they've been breaking their own children. Okay? Forsaking God, destroying the innocent. You know what it says there at the end of verse number 11? Till there be no place to bury, it means that God is going to slaughter these people severely. Okay? There's not going to be enough graves. Like, there's not going to be enough place to just bury these dead bodies. They're just going to lay on the land. And, you know, we've seen that before where, you know, wild animals will come and basically eat up these bodies. But you see what he's asked Jeremiah to do? Take that clay bottle. Take that vessel from the potter, right? And just break it in front of them. Just smash it in front of them. And brethren, you know, when I was reading this, you know what I really wanted to do? I was going to ask Christina, do we have a mug that you don't care if I break? Because honestly, as I'm reading this, You know, and you ask the Lord to help you. And I was going to just take that mug and just smash it against the wall. All right? I mean, that's what Jeremiah did to drive home how serious this was. Right? And then I thought about it. Well, if I smash it and someone gets hurt, a piece, you know, goes out. I don't want to get, you know. So, look, God says I'm going to smash it. All right? Just like that. Look, that's the best I can do, right? He says, I'm going to break it. You know, you say, oh, man, you know, do you really need to act that way? Well, God asked Jeremiah to be that way. Sure. Sometimes you just have to be hard, okay? I wish I could just smash that vessel. I don't know, maybe next week, right? No, but, you know, it's just, this is serious business. You know, we need to understand just how wicked our nation has become. Let's not become, you know, insensitive toward what is happening in our nation. You know, it's fine. Who cares about 250 babies to kill today? Yeah, it's for the mother's health. They're not really lives. They're not really children yet. You've been brainwashed by this world. Who cares? Vaccines, who cares? You've been brainwashed by this world. You know, just wake up. Understand that God is against these things. Verse number 12. Thus will I do unto this place, saith the Lord, and to the inhabitants thereof, and even make this city as Tophet. So the term Tophet means fire. God's going to basically just burn that place up. And we know, again, Tophet, again, tying into the valley of the son of Hinnom. This is why God uses these words to refer to hell. Okay? Not only are these people dying and being slaughtered by God, their souls are burning in hell. Okay? Verse number 13. And the houses of Jerusalem and the houses of the kings of Judah shall be defiled as the place of Tophet. God says, the same way you have defiled these children, the same way you've destroyed the lives of these children, I'm going to defile you and all your property and all the things you hold value to, I'm going to defile you in the same way. It says, because of all the houses upon whose roofs they have burned incense unto all the hosts of heaven and have poured out drink offerings unto other gods. So I want you to understand this, brethren, the reason there is abortions, the reason we inject baby body parts into Australians, okay, is because it's satanic. It's satanic, okay? This is not about health. This is not about making things better, okay? This is a satanic plot, okay? The devil has his fortresses in our nation. They're called abortion clinics. They should be known as slaughter clinics. You know what? And for those abortion doctors, just like they're going to die in the same place that they have killed their children, I want to see these abortion doctors be slaughtered in the same clinics that they have done these things. All right? They deserve to die. God hates this. God wants to break these people. Right? Listen, murder of children is tied in with satanic practices. Since the beginning. Okay? This isn't about health. It's not about Planned Parenthood. Okay? They are honoring their God, the God of this world. They are honoring Satan. Okay? And don't you think it's okay as a Christian? Because you're saying that it's fine for Satan to kill the children of our nation. Don't be like that. Okay? If you think it's okay for abortion to take place, just start by turning off the TV and read Jeremiah a few times. You know, get into the Spirit of God. Understand His Word. Instead of ignoring the Bible and thinking that the TV is going to be the place that you get information from. So, as we saw, God will defile Jerusalem in the same way that He defiled children. Sorry, as they defiled the children. And so, you know, in conclusion, we're going to wrap up now. We're near the end of the chapter. You know, you might say, well, you know, Pastor Kevin, maybe these things, maybe the reason churches don't preach through Jeremiah and preach like this, it's just not the right place. You know, there are children at church. And look, I probably scared some of my kids, maybe your kids. You know, I feel like saying sorry, but I can't really, because it's the Word of God, right? Or we have to preach the Word of God. You know, you might say, well, maybe that's not the right place. Maybe church is not the right place to preach such a negative sermon, you know? Maybe, you know, just amongst the men. No, just amongst, you know, friends, when we have to talk about things, that's when we should preach about Jeremiah. And I just want you to notice then there in verse number 14. Because now that after that Jeremiah has preached against the city and preached against the valley of Hinnom, it says in verse number 14, then came Jeremiah from Tophet, whither the Lord had sent him to prophesy. So the Lord sent in Jeremiah to prophesy at these different places. Now look, and he stood in the court of the Lord's house and said to all the people. So yeah, okay, Jeremiah's preaching outside of the city, but then God says, all right, now I need you to go to the house of the Lord. Okay, and what's the house of the Lord for us? It's the local church. Yep. Okay, verse number 15. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon this city and upon all her towns all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they have hardened their necks that they might not hear my words. So once Jeremiah's finished preaching outside of the city, God said, all right, now go to church, go to the house of the Lord, go to the temple, and tell them once again what's going to take place. And so, you know, let's not have this attitude that, you know, this kind of preaching is not good for the house of God, it's not good for the church, when that is exactly where God sent Jeremiah to preach such things. Okay? So we need to hear this in the house of the Lord. We need to hear this in church. You know, as I told you, I don't like preaching this. If I just had a choice, I would not preach. I would not be like, all right, I'm going to preach this chapter today. If I had a choice. The Lord's given me Jeremiah to preach through. So this is what we have to preach on. All right? And we need to preach it in the right way. The way Jeremiah preached it is the way we need to preach such things. All right? And we need to hear this in the house of God, because you're not going to hear it anywhere else. You're not going to hear it in conversation with your friends. You're not going to hear it at your workplace. Children are not going to hear this in their schools, okay? You're not going to hear this on TV. The only place you're going to hear the truth of God's word in this manner is in His house. So this is why it's important to be in the house of the Lord. We need to hear from the Spirit of God. Don't forget, these are the words of God just as much as John 3:16 is the word of God. We can't pick and choose and say, well, I love John 3:16, all right? I love Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9, and not love Jeremiah 19. You can't be that way as a Christian. All of it is the word of God. It's all for our profit, for our admonition, okay? For us to learn the doctrines of God, for us to have the right attitude towards such wicked behavior. You know, I love Australia. I love this land. I love the lost. I want to see them saved. But I don't love the philosophy of Australia. I don't love the education. I don't love the media. I don't love these wicked people. I hate these wicked people. They've destroyed our nation. But I'm a child of God. Okay, and I'm in favor of God judging this nation. Okay, again, I'm not going to take this in my own hands. Okay, when you get upset and you get fired up and you're like, man, what do? Do we protest? Do we destroy these places? No, you bow your head like we saw last week. You take this to the Lord. You pray some imprecatory prayer and say, Lord, please destroy these people in your right time. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you.